Here in Isaiah 53, we went through this chapter in our Wednesday night studies of our in looking at our doctrinal statement, confession of faith, and we came upon this chapter in the course of that and the freeness of salvation. And the Lord has just put this subject on my heart this morning, and just pray that the Lord will bless, and I know that you have been. You know, we look at the Word of God, and we look at the Scripture, and we need to know and have reinforced often that the Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible, any Scripture, any passage, it can stand in and of itself, because it's the Word of God. God has declared it. Now, sometimes we might be accused that, well, the things that you're preaching or the things that you're teaching that you say are out of the Word of God are conflicting. And I know to us humanly, maybe some things might seem to conflict. But when there is a conflict, understand the issue is with us, not with our Lord. And we just need, where we understand, we need to praise our Lord. And where we think that there might be a conflict, we just need to reconcile it in our Lord, okay? We know He's said these things. We know He's given His Word. It is true in every way. And we do use and hold to the principle that Scripture interprets Scripture, and we can understand the full working of God in some things, and but in other things we just grapple and scratch, and we try to, and it's good to do so. But where we just can't get it ourselves, we leave that with our Lord, and He'll help us. As He's pleased and that. But this morning, I want us to look here at this subject and these few words in the Scripture that are here that our Lord has said. In this passage, Isaiah is a prophet unto the nation of Israel and to Judah. And this passage says in verse number 1 of Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." He's not talking about food, but he is talking about something that is a blessing, the blessing indeed. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me," the Lord says. This is the Lord speaking. He's using his prophet to do so, but that's the tense of it, is that it's God speaking. "And eat ye that which is good." Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ said that sinners need to eat some things? And he wasn't talking about food. Remember chapter 6, as he dealt with those rebellious people there, they were very prideful and they claimed some things. And then when the Lord told them the truth about their situation, they balled up and reared up, and the Lord just kept dealing with them. And he said, "The words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life." Okay, so the Lord never was talking about eating any food. He's talking about partaking of Him. We need to partake of every person needs to partake of the Lord more than you need your daily sustenance. And the Lord says, there's something here. You don't have to have any money to buy this. Come on, and you can buy it. Even though you don't have any money, you can have this. And he says, "Why do you keep laboring?" Remember that word. "Why your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me." Listen. "And eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." There's some fatness that's available. I like those scriptures about being fat. There's a passage, I need to look it up again, but about the eyeballs, being so blessed to the Lord that your eyeballs are bulging out. I like that, especially on fellowship dinner day. Delight itself in fatness. He's not talking about food, but there is a great blessing, greater than any other, that is there, and it's free and it's available. Verse 3, "Incline your ear." What's that mean? Turn it over there and get it over there. And when we have a hard time hearing something, we incline our ear to it, don't we? We turn our ear to it so that we might hear. The Lord says, "Incline your ear and come unto me." That's what the Lord says. Now, I know that this is to Israel, but I think there's a principle here, and I think it's proven out by what we're going to find in the New Testament. Interesting that these words come unto me or come to me, this is really the only place in this context, the Lord speaking to sinners, saying, come unto me. This is the only place in the Old Testament. I tell you what, in the New Testament, there are many more. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Doesn't the scripture say in the book of Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Is this not the word of God? And isn't there some imploring by the Lord here to hear? And if a man will hear, if a man, woman, boy, or girl will believe, there's faith. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Not talking about your body, not talking about food that would be taken into your body and go through that digestive tract for the sake of your body living, but your soul. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David, and some specific things that he's promising there to Israel. But the subject for this morning's message is, come unto me. That's the declaration of our Lord. Come unto me. I like this passage. You hear me say it a lot. In Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we have our Lord Jesus here. And he's in this account of the gospel, we've had the Sermon on the Mount. And then in chapter 8, the one coming to him about the palsy and the many more that were brought to our Lord possessed of devils and the scribe that came and wanted to go with the Lord, and the Lord told him, I don't have any place. I don't even have a place to live. Another man sick of the palsy on the bed in chapter 9, and the Lord heals. And so things during the course of his ministry, Jairus's daughter, or the woman with the issue of blood, and Jairus's daughter that he heals. In chapter 10, he called his 12 disciples, gave them power, and names them there, and he gives them instruction in the latter part of chapter 10. And then in chapter 11, he'd made an end of commanding his 12 apostles. It says in verse number 1, he went to teach in the cities that they were from, if I understand that right. And John hears about the Lord, and John's in prison. And so he sends some fellas to go make sure that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah. The Lord speaks about John the Baptist here in chapter 11, verses 7 and that. And he says in verse number 15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Talks about this generation that's at hand. He said they're just never satisfied with anything. John came the way he did, and they said he was crazy. The Lord Jesus came the way he did, which was an exact opposite of John. Not misbehaving, but in his way, and people aren't satisfied. He upbraids the cities. He knows that some cities would have repented at the things that were done in them. And he knows that. He talks about Capernaum. He talks about Sodom. And then he prays here in verse number 25. And he says here, and at that time Jesus answered and said, Matthew 11, 25, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And that's the way our Lord works. He takes that which we wouldn't expect, and he uses it for his honor and his glory and his service. That's the reason he saved us. Not that we were a catch, but he's been merciful unto us, hadn't he? All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So you need the Lord Jesus to reveal the Father unto you. You need the Lord. And he says this, come unto me. It's right there. He said the things that he said, and he's talked about the things that he's talked about. And he said, do you have fear? Do you have worry? Are you in a strait? Or do you know about the need of your soul? Do you have a thing going on in your family that you just can't get worked out? Do you need a job? Do you need provision? Do you need help to understand the things, you know, in this day, the things that I've said here? Do you need, the Lord Jesus says, do you need help understanding about me, the Lord Jesus? You would say in these things, you know, some would look on and say, how can he know these things? How could he know that Tyre and Sidon would have repented at the preaching and the works that were done in Chorazin and Bethsaida? You have a hard time just dealing with Christ? Is Christ just so big that you think that he's unapproachable? He is great. He is mighty. He is wonderful. But do you have any problem? Do you have any issue? Do you have an issue about the need of your soul? The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And there's a lot of ways to labor, and there's a lot of ways to be laden down, isn't there? And our Lord Jesus says, come unto me. He's got the answer. He's got the answer for every single thing. He says, come unto me. The rich young ruler that the Lord dealt with here in these preceding passages, he said, I want to inherit eternal life. And the Lord says, keep the commandments. He said, I'm doing that, but that's just not enough. He said, okay, you lack one thing. Sell what you've got, give it to the poor, and come and take up your cross and follow me. Isn't that saying the same thing? Come unto me, all ye that labor. Was that man laboring about his eternal existence? Was he laboring about what would be in the life to come? Was he not laboring and bored down and laden down with the worry about what's going to happen when I close my eyes in death? I want to be sure. I want to be solid. I want to have a right now hope that everything will be okay when it comes time to die. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus says, all ye that labor to labor. To labor. You look out the door and you look at the driveway with all this snow, and you know if it's going to be cleared off, it's going to be nothing but labor. you look at maybe a long driveway and you say, oh my, that would be a lot of work to get that cleaned up, because we know it's labor. There's a lot of labor to be done. There's labor. Are you laboring with something? Are you trying and working? We look on and say, oh, that's more. It's going to take more than I've got. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Is he talking about cleaning off the driveway or working in the garden or building something or such as that? Well, indeed, our Lord can help us with those things. But our Lord is speaking about things that are greater than that, isn't he? Come unto me. He said, I've got the answer. I've got the answer to everything. Come unto me. Don't bear that yourself. Don't labor with that yourself. Don't try to do that which is impossible. Are you laden down with it? He says, I'll give you rest. He says, listen to this. Take my yoke upon you. One that is laboring might take the yoke that they would use from the standpoint of the yoke that's put on animals and to be able to deal with, you know, with equipment. And of course, in our day, we use machinery We use tools to do the work that we do. Our work is simplified somewhat, but then we got that stuff to work on. So I don't know if it's simplified or not. He said, the yoke that you've got will make you tired. It'll weight you down. It'll be impossible for you. He said, I'll tell you what, take that yoke and put it off of you and take unto you my yoke. Come unto me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And you know what? Spend some time learning about me. we learn about our Lord, it does nothing but help us. Have you ever learned anything about Jesus that upset you, made you mad, or made you sad? We look on at our Lord and what he did for us, and there is an element that we look on at our Lord suffering on Calvary and bearing the things that he did for us, and there is an element there of grief, but I tell you what, it's superseded by joy that he did so for us. We would not be saved if he didn't. Learn of me. He'll save you. He'll help you. Child of God, you've been saved by the Lord, and you don't need the Lord Jesus anymore. We sure do. We need him in every way. He says to us, or his children, come unto me. Quit that struggling. Quit that wrestling all by yourself. He says, come unto me. I've got rest. I've got help. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That word meek does not mean weak. That means power under control. Power under control. Said, I'm lowly in heart. Says, you know what? I'm not thinking about my throne and glory that I left. I'm thinking about you. Our Lord could have, in these things that he says, oh, foolish generation, how long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? You know, he didn't give up on the brethren that were there in that day and on the people that day. He didn't get frustrated and quit, didn't he? Woe unto you, Bethsaida and Chorazin. If the mighty works that have been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. He didn't throw his hands up and quit. But he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Praise God, our Lord Jesus didn't quit in any way. And he hadn't quit. He says, I'm lowly. I'm lowly in heart. I've come lowly. I've come of no reputation. I don't have a house to live in. I don't have a place to lay my head. But I came for you. I came for you. Learn of me. I'm power under control. I've got the power. I'm lowly in heart. Learn of me and ye shall find rest unto your souls. More than the body, although the Lord can help us in body, but the soul. Peace. Peace and rest of the soul. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me. He says, you know what? What you'll find if you learn of me, what you'll find is if you'll take my yoke upon you and you quit that wrestling and that struggling and that fretting and that trying to save yourself, trying to work the impossible out, trying to do this, trying to do that, being afraid, being scared, being all tore up about things that you can't even do. He said, if you can't add a foot and a half to your stature, why are you worrying about anything else? Now, it seems like to me that adding a foot and a half to my height would be really something big. But our Lord Jesus says that's pretty little. He said, if you can't add that, if you can't add a foot and a half to your stature, why are you worrying about anything? Come unto me. Come unto me. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And indeed it is, isn't it? When we look to our Lord, when we come to our Lord, when we petition our Lord, when we get near to our Lord, he does give help. He does give rest. He can and does save. He says, come unto me. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 13, the scripture says, and they brought young children unto him, you know, the multitude that was about the Lord, people of the cities and stuff, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. You know, the heresy or about politicians kissing babies and stuff like that. The Lord indeed was a notable man. He was a man that was had much fame, didn't he? And of course, he indeed distributed a blessing, right? He healed many and cast out demons and all those things. Who wouldn't want their child to be touched by this one that came? They brought them. The disciples said, get those kids out of here. The Lord doesn't have time for those kids. Get those children out of here. And they brought young children unto him that he should touch them. It says in Luke, even infants. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Get those kids out of here. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Frown. Said, no, don't run those kids off. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. Makes me sad to see of young children in a household and they're not brought to the worship services of one of the Lord's churches. It's sad, isn't it? Sad. Children in our own county that don't even know about the creation account of the worlds and the universe by our Lord and other things. Foundational things that need to be there that our Lord will use. And they're not here. They're not brought anymore. The Lord says, suffer the little children to come unto me. I think he's for it, don't you? And listen to this. And forbid them not. I don't want to be a stumbling block to children. Do you? I may God help us. No, we in no way forbid in any way children to come unto me. The Lord says, let them come unto me. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Wow. For of those little children is the kingdom of God. Those little children, innocent, they're sinners. We love our children. We love our grandchildren. We look at the little ones and they're tender and they're young and they're innocent. They're sinners. Well, they need to come to Christ too, don't they? And he says, I'm all for it. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. It's out of those little children that grow up to be older or young adults or adults that our Lord saves and furthers his kingdom, adds children to his kingdom. We sure don't need to be a stumbling block to them, do we? For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, well, we'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that. But the Lord says the command to come unto our Lord, a hinderer or a helper, Matthew chapter 23. I happen to think of this passage in consideration of this, the command to come to our Lord and how our Lord says that don't suffer the little children to come unto me. Don't forbid them in any way, for such is the kingdom of God. Listen to what our Lord said here to the scribes and Pharisees of his day. Our witness, our testimony, our conversation. He says in verse 13 of Matthew 23, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. May God help us not be a hinderer. Hinderer or helper? We need to be helping people. I know we can't save, but we can tell about Jesus, can't we? We can tell about the gospel. We can have a good, righteous, holy conversation with the help and blessing of our Lord to be a good witness to them in Christ. I mean, your salvation of your soul, brother or sister, would people want what you've got? How do you represent it? How do you hold it forth? Would they see a difference in you that would cause them to say, I want what you have? He said, you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. In John chapter 7, and to the previous chapter, our Lord has dealt with a rebellious lot, the free lunch crowd, as I like to call them. And in John chapter 7, in verse number 37, the Lord says this. In the last day, the great day of the feast, he's been challenged by his stepbrothers if you're really somebody, early in his ministry, he said, if you're really somebody, in verse number 4, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world, for neither did his brethren believe in him. They're challenging him, said, you're some great thing, you're something else, and get on up there and show yourself at the feast. The Lord says, my time, it's not time for me to go to the feast yet, certainly not at your command. But he does go, and he does go in secret, and he does go there and deal with folks there, and he speaks. And it says here in verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, maybe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus stood and cried. He cried this. He stood there and cried wherever it was that he is, at the temple or wherever. And he stood up and he cries this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Clarissa sang it. Come and drink of living water. Jesus declared that in the day of his ministry. It's right here accounted in the scripture. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, does Jesus mean that? Or is he just saying that for filler? Our Lord means that, doesn't he? Do you thirst? Are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? Our Lord says, come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. What if I stood up during our fellowship dinner and just cried out something like that? Y'all look at me. Of course, depending on what I say. And if I said this, you'd say, Brother Jim, it's not you. But that's what he stood up. It's like he's filled. We know he's got all the Spirit of God indeed. But it was just time. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come unto me and believe. Believe, he that believeth, come unto me and believe on me. Not religion, not dogma, not a creed, but the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Believe on him. In Luke chapter 14, we see about the command to come unto our Lord. He gives this command and it's there and it's proclaimed openly. And we come here to this qualifier. Understand, if one will come to Christ, there is a qualifier that's at hand by our Lord Jesus said himself. In chapter 14, he goes to one of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. There's a man there. He heals him. The Lord deals with him and says, you got an ox or you got an animal that's in the ditch on the Sabbath. Won't you pull him out? And you don't want me to heal this man? All right. He says about gatherings and parties, if you will, or dinners that they would have. He said, don't sit up high, but sit down low so they'll bring you up. And then he said, when you make a dinner or a supper, don't call just your friends, but call those that can't repay you. You'll be recompensed, verse 14, at the resurrection of the just. He's dealing with these Pharisees and Sadducees. A fellow's there and says, blessed is he that'll eat bread in the kingdom of God, verse number 13. The Lord said, what about a man that made a supper and he sent out those that he invited, and these fellows that did all these different things that they had done, and said, well, they can't come. And the Lord, the one that put together the supper, nobleman or such, he says to his servants, go call the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Go get them. Because these fellows that were bidden to my supper, they won't eat of it. And he comes down here to verse number 25. And there were great multitudes with him as he said all these things and dealt this. And he turned and he said, and he turned and said unto them. Okay, get that? He's dealt with these that are here at this Pharisee's house, and then evidently is leaving, or they're there near to where they can hear. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, now the Lord says, come unto me, but if any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, hate his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, does that mean that the Lord Jesus wants you to, with vehement hatred, hate your parents? No. I tell you what, where our Lord expects us to esteem him is above all others. To where if the Lord says this and our family says otherwise, we go with the Lord. Whether our Lord wants us to do this or doesn't want us to do this, no matter whether it's our daddy or our mama or our wife or our children, we're going to obey our Lord. We're going to put him first. We're going to put him above all. That's what he expects. He says, you come unto me, you better be ready, because all I want is all of you. That's what our Lord says. Because that's the way it is. The Lord's not playing games. If any man come unto me and hate not father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth down not first and counteth the cost? The Lord says, count the cost. We're dealing with eternal things. But you need to count the cost of physical things, because if you don't follow me and put me first, you can't be my disciple. Count the cost. He says some would begin to build and they don't count the cost. They lay the foundation, can't finish. They begin to mock. And he says, saying this man in verse 30 began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he has another nation coming against him with an army, he considers about, can he beat him, or can, maybe it's time to just go ahead and make peace, try to get a truce. There's a counting of the cost. Verse number 32, or else the other is a great way off. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And he says this, salt is good. A difference. We like to put salt on food. Salt on food makes a difference, doesn't it? Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? See, if salt is not salty, there's nothing else that'll make it salty again. You come after Christ, you obey him and come unto him, you best come unto him giving all, surrendering all, laying it all down to follow Christ. Now, Brother Jim, you've got a wife, you've got children, you've got parents. You know what? My Lord has commanded me and expects us well that I should love my wife. Because you know what? In my situation, I can't be a good pastor to you if I don't love my wife. Can't do it. Because that's the first thing I've got. She's part of me. The Lord tells me next that I need to love my children and instruct my children right. If I don't deal with my children right, I can't be a good pastor to you. Think about it. Can I let that aside and still hold what the Lord's called me to? You know, the Lord's told me to honor my parents and to love them. Because if I don't do well by my parents, I can't be a good pastor to you. And you know what our Lord's called me to do in particular? He's called me to be a good pastor to you. See how those things are there? Now, how can I do well with them and hate them? But you know what? If the Lord stands up and says this, I need to not follow them, but I need to follow him. You see that? It tells us in Matthew chapter 10, here's a good clarifier of this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So, well, we should love those that we've been given unto and that have been given us and hold them in the right place at the instruction of the Lord. But we're to love the Lord the most of all. Come unto me. There is a qualifier, the command of our Lord to come unto him, this qualifier. And then in Luke chapter 18, how is it that we come? Let's take a look here. Luke 18. How do we come? How are we to come to Christ? In Luke chapter 18, it's another account that we read previously, but in this Gospel of Luke. In verse number 15 of Luke 18, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them, said, get those kids out of here. And Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, when the Lord says verily, it's very important. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Joseph and Matthew, they'll believe about anything you tell them, because anybody that's older and bigger than them, they will believe. That's the reason we have to watch over them, not let them wander off, not let them engage people that we don't know anything about, right? Children just receive things. Children believe that just everybody's going to do them good. And you know what? That's the way that we're to come to Christ. That's the way that we're to receive this about the kingdom. The Lord's telling the truth. He's got all the details worked out. And we can trust Him. We can believe Him. We can rest in Him. So many children that are abducted and abused in our day. It's a terrible thing. We mentioned here what the Lord said about that. Those that abuse children and do that, the Lord says better for them to have a millstone put around their neck and cast into the sea. I mean, the Lord's really specific about that, isn't He? But children that are abducted and taken by others and different things that are done, we find in those accounts that they very willingly go with those that are going to do them harm. And I mentioned that from the example of the way the Lord's saying about as a child. We're to receive it, the kingdom, and to come to our Lord as a child. He said, if you don't, you won't. Verily, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. How to come to Christ as a child. You know what, child of God? In Matthew 18, it tells us how to continue in Christ too. Beginning of a life of by repentance and faith, and salvation by our Lord is the beginning of a life of continued repentance and faith in our Lord, isn't it? That's what John is clear about that. How to continue with Christ. Come unto me. In Matthew 18, verse number 1, the scripture says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto them and set them in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, to turn, to reverse, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. How is it we humble ourselves before the Lord? We declare and believe and acknowledge our need of Him in every way. I need Him for the salvation of my soul. I need Him for the help of continued life. I need Him for the help of continuing to live for Him. I need Him to help me to understand what His Word says and apply it to my life. I need Him. Humility. Lord, I need You. You don't need me. I need You. Does a little child need a parent? Families in our country are in a mess because children don't have parents. They need them. They need them. They're humble in that way, and that they cannot raise themselves. They can't fix their food. They can't take care of their clothes. We, whosoever therefore shall not humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How to come after having come to Christ and obeyed Him in His command and understanding this qualifier about coming to Christ, that He's going to be first, and how we come to Christ as a little child. How do we continue with Christ as a little child? He's our Father. He's our Savior. He's our Lord, and He's our God. In John chapter 5, in conclusion, we see this passage. Come unto me. Come unto me. In John chapter 5, listen closely what the scripture says, what our Lord says here. He talks about testimony and bearing of witness and such as that. And he says to these folks that he's dealing with here and to us here today, in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. For them, speaking of these folks here that day, ye think ye have eternal life. These folks believe that they were holding to the scriptures and that was going to be their salvation. But our Lord says plainly, those scriptures are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, verse 40, that ye might have life. If you don't come to Christ, you will not have life. Mark it down. If you don't come to Christ, you will not have life. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. A command to come to our Lord, a qualifier of coming to Him, how to come to Him as a little child, how do we continue in Christ after having come to Him? We keep on coming to Him, don't we? I'm not talking about the gaining and the losing of salvation. That's impossible. Once a sinner is saved, they're always saved. It's the way the Lord saves. But as a little child, we humble ourselves. We have this need. And you know what? If sinners don't come to Christ, they will not have life. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. What's the converse of that? Those that don't come to Christ, there's no hope of life because there's no other way.